The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
8:15 now, beautiful Tuesday morning. It'll be a nice week. Chance for showers coming in Wednesday, Thursday in advance of another front. Right now, we're not even at 50 degrees yet. If you average the temperatures in the area, it's only going up to 60, and that's going to be around 3, 4 o'clock this afternoon. So it's going to be a chilly day. Tomorrow, highs of 68, 66 Thursday. That's when a real chance for showers comes in. And then it cools off again by Friday, highs of 54, 62 Saturday, and then 72 on Sunday. Ronald Serpas joins us, our friend, professor of practice in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, former NOPD chief, head of the Nashville City Police, Washington State Police, and consultant to many departments. He's with us today because tomorrow we're going to be at the Children's Hospital New Orleans Radio Light Up the Season Radiothon. And we'll give you more about that as the morning unfolds. Good morning, Chief. How are you doing?
I'm good, Tommy. How about you?
I'm all right. Let's talk about the recent spate of shootings and Ann Kirkpatrick, the superintendent, saying, you know, that number of murders is still down. You always have been a numbers guy. I should say Dr. Serpas because you got a PhD. But then I'd have to ask you to look at the sore elbow that's bothering me. But seriously, tell me about the violence that are we seeing a trend? Are these anomalies? How do you go about evaluating whether or not crime is up, down, whatever?
Well, there's a couple things here at play. One is you can rely on data, and I did, and so do many other chiefs. But that just gives you context. What you got to remember is that people derive crime information from their friends, family, and neighbors. So sometimes when you talk about data, it sounds a little, it kind of hits like a thud when people say, well, I'm glad to know that crime is down in New Orleans. And it is, by the way. And I'm glad to know that shootings are down in New Orleans. And we want to celebrate that. But you can't use that as the only explanation of these events. And I don't think that's what Chief Kirkpatrick was doing. But just remember, people know crime from their friends, families, and neighbors. Secondly, these spats of violent crime like this have been cyclical for the last 30 or 40 years. You'll hear myself and other people who comment about the NOPD, Raffi, for example, is many times you'll have a group or a gang that's been incredibly dangerous, and then they'll be reduced in capacity either by prison or other events, and you get a bit of a lull. But when that lull happens, we invariably see around the country, particularly with these groups of young men who have no care about anybody but themselves, it'll come back up again. Third, this particular notion that I saw one of the captains talking about, that these are groups or gangs that were in the quarter and finding each other, or even as Mayor Cantell said, don't settle your beefs in the quarter, that's actually been going on for a really long time. She is not wrong about that. We had a Thanksgiving Day shooting right after I came back as chief. A guy saw a fella he shot in Baton Rouge 3 weeks earlier on Bourbon Street, and he essentially said, oh, there you are, and he shoots him. So there's all these different things, but I think what the city is doing and the police department doing is the right thing. Reflect for a moment that crime is going down for the bigger picture ideas that people want to see. But never forget, it's what your mom and them told you. It's what your neighbors told you. It's what your friends told you about how you perceive crime in your city. And right now, there's probably some trepidation about that in many parts of the city. New Orleans East, you had the poor three-year-old baby that killed herself, it appears, with a negligent homicide charge on the mama. You had another shooting a couple days later, which was earlier this week. So you just got to be careful that you don't try to convince people the numbers should make them feel safer if they don't feel safer.
But let's talk about feeling safe. The police superintendent saying, I think a lot of these people, most of them that were involved in the shooting, were from out of town. Didn't I hear her say that, right?
I think there's always going to be some combination of that in the French Quarter, right? But we still have other parts of the city where there's been some pretty significant shootings in the last 2 weeks, right? So I was just trying to make the distinction. I'm glad you brought it up. The issue in the Quarter could be homegrown or it could be visitors. The issue in the Quarter is there's a lot of people in a very small place. But you still have stuff going on in New Orleans East and up in uptown, some parts of Gertown. So you can't, you know, there's a little difference between the two. But Tommy, there is a real truth here. Our friends in the tourist industry have always been hypersensitive to these kinds of crimes in the Central Business District because they're trying to market New Orleans as a safe place to visit. Friends of mine in New York City are having the exact same problem today when you see videos of people committing crimes by Times Square. It kind of goes out into the atmosphere of people who are trying to make choices of where to visit, mm-hmm. and it does have an effect. And I don't think the tourism industry officials are taking that lightly, and they're going to try to do everything they can to tamp down this notion that New York or New Orleans or Chicago is so dangerous because of the shootings, you can't come visit our town. And that is a necessary function, too, because not all these crimes actually happen there.
You mentioned Thanksgiving weekend when you first, I remember that stuff about, he had shot him one time, mm-hmm. right, and shot him again. Is that what happened, if I remember correctly?
He shot him in Baton Rouge. He shot the guy in Baton Rouge, tried to kill him in Baton Rouge. A couple weeks later, he's on Bourbon Street during Thanksgiving, if I remember, Thanksgiving or Halloween, one of the two. And he says, oh, look, that's the guy I tried to kill a couple weeks ago. I'm going to do it now. And start shooting at him in the middle of Bourbon Street. These are the kind of things that are going to happen in any city. But the problem is, from the tourist perspective, you got to find a way where our tourist industry can help rationalize that these are one-offs that are very sad, but it isn't what's the nature of visiting the city of New Orleans. That's an important issue for a tourist town, New Orleans, Nashville, New York, Chicago. Those are important things that have to also be considered outside of what you're doing to serve your residents.
Yeah, let me take a break because I'm getting a lot of texts about Bayou Classic. I don't know what the numbers show about shootings, but if you got people from out of town that settle beefs with guns, I don't know how you change that. And also looking ahead to the Super Bowl because that's a big out-of-town event. I don't know that due to the upscale nature of the Super Bowl where you got, private jets landing at Lakefront Airport, I don't know if you got or at the Aviation Field. I don't know if you have the same type of thing that would happen, but we'll talk about it when we come back about security in the city and so forth. Ronald Surpass, our guest. You got any questions, comments, 504-260-1870. Traffic now, WWL. 826 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Ronald Surpass, our friend, professor of politics in the Department of Criminal Justice at Loyola, Dr. Surpass, former NOPD chief, head of the Washington State Police, Nashville City Police chief. When it comes to these shootings, one thing, whether they're from in town or out of town, looking at the story here that two happened along Canal Street, the other on Bourbon Street, six people wounded. The people committing the shootings, not from the Crescent City. Of course, if you get shot, you don't really care where they're from if you get shot accidentally and you're not the target. And I mention that because one thing all of these shootings do have in common are guns, right? Everybody had a gun. So with that being said, I would guess, and somebody texted in, that the people that are doing these shootings, if you're going to shoot in a crowd, chances are it's not your first-time offense that you're doing this, that you've been in trouble with the law. You shouldn't have a gun anyway. So at that point, the carve-outs from the carry and the concealed carry and all of that, is that a red herring or not? Thoughts?
Well, I think many of us have always said from the beginning exactly what your caller said, the person who texted in. If you're that age and you're willing to take a gun and go into a crowd of people and shoot at anybody trying to get to the person you want, you're not the least bit interested in legal carry process. It's an illegal idea. It's an illegal use of a weapon. And often not, it's an illegally possessed weapon. So I think there should be a fairness that these are two completely different circumstances. Secondly, I've done two Mardi Gras as the chief or the chief operations and Super Bowls. There's a lot of extra cops. You got to be fair about that. There's a lot of extra work. You got to be fair about that. It's a multi-day event where a lot of people are together day in and day out, which kind of, in a way, to me, kind of calms the crowd because they're used to like being around all that. And then when you get down to this notion of someone legally carrying a weapon and shooting it in a crowd, I don't know that you see much of that, and I'm sure we'd see a lot of that in the media if we had it. What we do see is a person illegally possessing an illegal weapon and illegally shooting it into a crowd of people, I think is a night and day difference from the first equation.
Again, chances are you don't break bad, and this is not an honor roll student, right, that decided to settle a beef and shoot in a crowd, so it goes to who should be in jail and who shouldn't, perhaps?
Exactly. I mean, I don't want to castigate everybody on the planet, but let me tell you something. I've never seen an investigation of someone who was willing to shoot in a crowd like that. That was their first crime.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Chief.
That's your point. I mean, that's not the way they do it.
So when it comes to feeling safe in the city during the holiday season, I saw, you know, some people like to crap all over the city when they get a chance on social media about not wanting to go see the lights here or there or the other thing. I don't really feel threatened if I go to this celebration or that or the other thing. Should I be?
No, I spent my whole life here, Tommy, except for being gone for a few years. And guess what? New Orleans is safe. It's safer than many people believe. But we do have to recognize a tourist town is going to get painted with the brush of fear. And we just got to be effective at fighting that. I think the mayor yesterday and the chief did a good job of laying out the differences and dealing with the problem and not ignoring the problem. That's what I think they should be doing. And I think they did it pretty well.
Thank you, Chief. Have a good week, I guess. We'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir.
Might be a holiday between now and then. I don't know. If not, make one up.
That's what we'll do.
There you go. All right, Ronald Serpest will take a break, come back, talk to J.P. Morrell about the same thing. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. 8:46, 14 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, back with J.P. Morrell, New Orleans City Council member. Talking about a recent spate of violence and shootings in the city. How you doing, J.P.?
I'm good. How are you doing, Tommy?
I'm all right. Are you concerned about this? And I don't mean that's a bad way to phrase that question, because naturally, as a council person, elected official, resident of the city, you are concerned. But are these anomalies that happen in every big city, or do you see this as some kind of trend?
I don't see this as a trend. Obviously, we are all tremendously concerned with the shootings. There's always additional attention given, and rightfully so, when you see children who are caught in the crossfire of incidents like this. But I think it's important to highlight the fact that as of today, we have a 53% drop in murders in the city over previous years. And I think the trajectory of the city when it comes to violent crime is still down. I think it's an aberration. I think that whenever you have weekends with a tremendous influx of people, and just to be honest, Tom, I remember when you're talking about, for example, the Bayou Classic or large events, a lot of those people aren't from New Orleans. So you see a large influx of people. I think that there's in any large city, you're going to see an influx of the potential for there to be conflict. But I will not discount the fact that New Orleans has a history of kind of having volatile mixes, in that whenever there's explosive violence of this level, it is jarring and disconcerting. But I still have absolute faith in Chief Kirkpatrick and what she's been doing with the department.
For people that, you know, and I get a lot of texts here from people that I think a lot of times like to mess all over the city, and sometimes they don't even come to the city, talking about how unsafe it is. I don't have any qualms about going to Christmas lights here or there or this event or that event. I think, you know, part of the, and I'm not trying to get on my soapbox here but anything, but, you know, if you go live in America, you get shot anywhere with the, and I'm not trying to get anybody mad about guns or anything, but as many guns as are out there, you got a chance of getting shot no matter where you go. So I don't feel any really less safe in the city than I would in any other major American city, do you?
No, I think that's a great way to contextualize it. I think that whenever you have a major urban area where people, for the most part, live on top of each other, that whenever you have kind of histories of both like racial, socioeconomic, all these different tensions that are present, I think that there's a reason why suburbs exist. I mean, people feel like in urban environments that they just feel in a lot of ways part of its conditioning that they're just inherently less safe. And so, I mean, I will never try to say that New Orleans is a safe Mayberry utopia, but as far as where it was, we're in a much better place than where we've been historically in the last 8 to 10 years. And I would say we're on a great trajectory to be one of the safer, larger cities. But to your point, I was I was shopping the other day, and I talked to someone who was telling me how unsafe they felt in the city, and I was like, when's the last time you were there? They're like, I haven't been in the city in 2 or 3 years. I live in Kenner.
Right.
And I was like, well, I get that that's your perception, but your perception is shaped by the stories you read, and as you know, there's a reason why it's called If It Bleed, It Leads. Yep. I mean, no one reports good things that happen in New Orleans. I mean, last year we had a council youth and recreation fund program. We gave money to all these different groups that do interaction with youth and culture bearers to minimize crime. There was literally not one newspaper or TV reporter in the room. So you only hear the bad stuff out in New Orleans, not the good stuff. I mean, the good news is you have people like Jeff Asher, who are statisticians, who are saying, here is the data. And some people read the data and go, well, the data is empirically showing crime is going down. But I think you also on the other side have people who are saying, well, New Orleans is just unsafe because in a lot of ways, especially at the state level, New Orleans is an excellent punching bag. And I mean, crime was going down before the governor became governor. And I will say that certainly the governor has been supportive of the city and he's been helpful, but we were already on a decline the moment we brought in Chief Kirkpatrick from the work that had been done by Michelle Woodfork. So, I mean, the city takes crime seriously. We're spending money, effort, and resources, hire police officers, do alternative stuff, and it's all working. And it is a tremendous setback when you have an explosion of violence. But I would argue that if you pulled the paper or looked at every major city in the South, let's just say the South, let's say look at like a Atlanta, Houston, a Knoxville, wherever, you would see similar explosions of violence at very bad instances. And as a country, we have a record number of mass shooting events versus every other country. And remember, a mass shooting event is defined as when more than, I think it's three people are injured in a gun shooting.
Let me say this, and I'm not trying to be Pollyanna-ish about it, but I was downtown not too long ago. Troy Duhon's Giving Hope Gala. Today is Giving Day. If you want to go to givinghopenola.org, you can give there or whatever organization you want to give to. And I think occasionally people need to come downtown and walk around at night in the Warehouse District, CBD, in different areas. And you got to be smart about it, naturally, maybe not at 2 a.m., but I think there's this perception that once the sun goes down, it's Dodge City, and that's not the case at all. And if you believe that, like you're talking about, JP, we got to take a break. We'll be back after this. Like you're talking about the person from Kenner, maybe you need to come down and take a walk just to see, because it'll open your eyes, really. 852, 8 till 9, traffic now, WWL. 858, Tommy Tucker, WWL. JP, I had my little piece earlier about, you know, if you just come in the city at night and you walk around, you'd be surprised how safe you feel. Your thoughts on that?
I think it's a good suggestion. I will say there is still work to be done. I mean, obviously, we are not resting on our laurels that this is, like I said, Mayberry, and it's the safest city in America, but we're making gains. We are rebuilding confidence, the public, and then OPD, and with the fact the city can keep us safe. And I just don't want these setbacks that we've had to undermine the confidence that the city is doing a lot of good work towards making the city a safe place for people to come with their families.
And the only point I'm making, and again, I'm not trying to be Pollyanna-ish about this at all, but to have this mindset that when the sun goes down, it's Dodge City, every man for himself, if you are in a crowded area with people, you'd be surprised how safe you feel. And it amazed me just walking from around the downtown area, going to the Hilton and then the French Quarter and areas like that. And I think that it's a misconception for people. Somebody texted and said, you can say what you want, but I have a lot less chance of getting shot on a North Shore. Well, yeah, maybe, but you also go into woods and A-meet, and you got a lot less chance of that, too. And there's nothing, right? I mean, you're not getting the French Quarter. Go ahead, JP.
That's the Mayberry point. You also have a lot less people on the North Shore. And I'm not trying to inflame my North Shore friends, but it's also a lot less to do on the North Shore.
That's
so, I mean,
the point I'm making.
That's why suburbs exist, because people want to live somewhere where they can feel safer, and that's their choice. But don't dismiss or trivialize or discount the work that's being done in New Orleans because you live somewhere else. I mean, if you're someone who lives downtown and you feel unsafe every single day and you feel like nothing changed, I want to hear from you and I want to talk to you and see how we can fix that. But if you're someone who's checked out on New Orleans and you point to these stories and go, see, I told you so. That place is still, you know, Dodge City, where you walk outside and catch a bullet. Well, I'm not really going to change your mind.
Agree. Thank you.